Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So chapter 7 is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. The Absolute is defined in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Sutta Goswami when he is answering the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shonaka Rishi. He was asked 6 transcendental questions, and in answering those questions, he gave a nice definition. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. The absolute truth is a non-dual substance, and those who have realized the absolute truth describe it in 3 features: Brahman, which is all-pervasive; Paramatma, who is both localized and all-pervasive; and the ultimate phase of the absolute, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Supreme Personality of Godhead expands in 6 different kinds of avatars, and he also has personal expansions, which are technically called svangsha. But the source of all incarnations, the avatari, his name is Krishna. He goes by other names, Govinda. And it is that Krishna who speaks this Bhagavad Gita. So let's look at verse number 2. Please repeat. Jnanam teham sabhijnanam idang vakshyamya sheshataha yaj gyatva neha vuyon yaj gyatavyam avashishyate. Word for word meanings: jnanam, phenomenal knowledge; te, unto you; aham, I; sa, with; vijnanam, numinous knowledge; idam, this; vakshyami, shall explain; asheshata, in full; yat, which; gyatva, knowing; na, not; iha, in this world; vuya, further; anyat, anything more; gyatavyam, knowable; avashishyate, remains. Translation, please repeat. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. So, this is the benefit of hearing directly from God. Not only is Krishna God, but he is the supreme God of all other gods. Therefore, there is no more higher authority than the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. This Bhagavad Gita is God's song. Everybody has their song. The rappers, the hip-hop, they have their songs. God also has His song, called this Bhagavad Gita. Unlike the rappers, crappers, hippers, and hoppers, God does not speak nonsense. God speaks the absolute truth. And this verse, He's telling you that when you understand this Bhagavad Gita, there'll be nothing further for you to know. Earlier in chapter 2, which is considered to be a summary of the entire Gita, it was explained that when you have come out of the dense forest of delusion, then your ears will not be attracted by anything further to be heard, because you have come out of illusion and you are situated in the truth. Let us now go to Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of this movement, and it is the express understanding that whatever this movement does is based on what Srila Prabhupada wrote, what he spoke, and how he acted. So we are hearing these Bhakti Vedanta purports, not just Vedanta. The word Vedanta means the end or conclusion of knowledge. Bhakti Vedanta means that the conclusion or the end of knowledge has to be bhakti, has to include surrender, devotion, and service to God. Let's look at the purport. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. This is transcendental knowledge. The Lord wants to explain the above-mentioned system of knowledge because Arjuna is Krishna's confidential devotee and friend. In the beginning of the fourth chapter, this explanation was given by the Lord. So what I would like you to do is turn to chapter 4, verse 3, because that is the reference that Srila Prabhupada is mentioning. Verse number 3 of chapter 4, when you're all ready, you can all read it out loud, the translation, to chapter 4, verse 3. All together now, please. What's the translation? Yeah, that's correct. Say it again, nice and loud. That is a very important point. So what were the two qualifications of Arjuna? Why Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita? What were the two qualifications? Devotee. And friend. Yes. Devotee and friend. That is all you need to understand Bhagavad Gita. Has nothing to do with your birth. Has nothing to do with what country you live in. Has nothing to do whether you're a man or a woman, young or old, black, white, green, red, human or animal. If you are Krishna's devotee, and if you are Krishna's friend, you can understand Bhagavad Gita. So you ask yourself, are you Krishna's devotee? Are you Krishna's friend? If you checked off both, you can understand Bhagavad Gita. And I guess you must be, because you wouldn't be sitting here hearing Bhagavad Gita. You'd be home doing something else, watching baseball or something else. But because you are Krishna's devotee and friend, you have decided to come here. I give you a bell. Very good. Let's continue, devotees. Complete knowledge can be achieved only by the devotee of the Lord in disciplic succession, directly from the Lord. That was verse number 2. Why don't you read verse number 2 nice and loud? No, just the translation to Bhagavad Gita 4:2. 4:2. The translation. Yes, nice and loud. Disciplic succession. So, in order to understand Bhagavad Gita, besides being Krishna's friend and devotee, it has to be received in disciplic succession, which Krishna here is stating the science, the disciplic succession was broken. So that's one reason why he's speaking it on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to Arjuna to kickstart the disciplic succession again. The disciplic succession begins with God. Sometimes less informed people think that what we are following is man-made religion. People from other religions sometimes say, oh, you're following a man-made religion. No, I'm not. Here it is very clear. I already established that Bhagavad Gita is song of God. So, Krishna is now speaking directly to Arjuna. You have a question. Please. What is your good name? I am very glad that you have asked me this question, because I speak on this point many, many times. I go regularly to a college. I'm invited by Mrs. Wilson, who teaches religion courses at Southern California University over there in East LA. So many years ago, a student, an adult student, asked me the same question. Here is my explanation. Science means there is a predictable result from a procedure. I give them the example. According to holy science, 2 parts hydrogen with oxygen under a certain procedure gives you water. If you follow the procedure, you should get the predictable result. Bhagavad Gita is the science of God consciousness. That if you follow what Krishna is teaching, you should get the result that Krishna says you're supposed to get. God consciousness. Ultimately, even beyond God consciousness, love of God. Because love of God, that is the real Catholic religion. Whether you're a Christian, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, I don't care what club you belong to. Question is, do you know who is God? Do you love? Go on. Please share. a predictable result, which is mentioned, the ultimate stage of God consciousness is love of God. Yes. Definitely there's, and this love of God, there's no end point. Your love and knowledge of God will increase forever. If, by definition, God is unlimited, ananta, therefore, your love, your relationship with God will also increase unlimitedly, exponentially. No end point. Otherwise, it would be material. Exactly. So you brought up the idea of yoga. Yes, that's exactly what yoga is. It is a means, a methodology by which you link with God. Even the English word yoke, link, to connect, to unite. Okay? We have, besides this Bhagavad Gita, we have other books that we study which go into great detail so that you can know at any step of your progress exactly where you're at. Yes, there are symptoms of where you should be if you think you're at this particular level. There are symptoms that should be noticeable, and it's like a checklist. Oh, I don't have that, so I must not be on this level. You should know. And then also, these texts show you what to do to get to the next level. Well, after this Bhagavad Gita, there is the Srimad Bhagavatam. After the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two books, the Nectar of Devotion and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And what you can do is take my card, thank you, and send me an email, and I will connect you with that. Yes. Yes. That's because you are a serious practitioner. You are directly mentioned in this chapter. That's all right. There's a verse in this chapter which describes where you're at right now. We will get to that. All right. Let us continue. Therefore, one should be intelligent enough to know the source of all knowledge, who is the cause of all causes, and the only object for meditation in all types of yoga practice. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known, and nothing remains unknown. In the Vedas, Mundaka Upanishad, it said, Kasmin yu bhagavo vigyate sarvam idang vigyatam bhavati. Let us go now to the next verse, verse number 3. Please repeat. manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha manushyanam of men. Now don't misunderstand. Men meaning mankind. Not that women are excluded. Please don't misunderstand. Sahasresyu, out of many thousands, kaschit, someone, yatati, endeavors, siddhaye, for perfection, yatatam, of those so endeavoring, api, indeed, siddhanam, of those who have achieved perfection, kaschit, someone, mam, me, veti, does know, tatvataha, in fact. So, this verse applies to you. You'll see. Please repeat. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So this verse, Krishna is pointing out, he's not cheap. First of all, in human society, how many people do you know are actually endeavoring for perfection? Perfection here means self-realization. Perfection does not mean to be Kobe Bryant. Perfection does not mean that I became president, or I became Lee Iacocca, or I became, no. Perfection here means that you have realized who you are. In the very beginning of this Bhagavad Gita, what was the first lesson Krishna was drilling Arjuna? What was the first lesson? That you're not the body. So any kind of perfection in terms of the body, that's not what Bhagavad Gita is referring to. Krishna here is referring to self-realization. And the very first thing Krishna spoke was the difference between the self and non-self. The difference between matter, which you so nicely explained. Matter, which is temporary. But where perfection here, the soul is eternal. So we're talking about our eternal self, who we really are, not the one we see in the mirror. The real self. The self we have yet to see. The self which is part and parcel of God. The self which has all the qualities of God to a minute degree. So you know in yourself, how many people do you know in your family or whatever are really on this path of self-realization? Most people, they're on the other kind of perfection, how to make it in this material world. But those who are yogis, they want to realize the self. Now, what's interesting here, Krishna says, of those who have achieved perfection, so that number is even smaller, right? First, out of many, many thousands and millions of people, The number actually trying for self-realization is small. And even those who have achieved this self-realization, hardly one knows Krishna. So this is very, very special. To actually realize Krishna is very, very special. Let's look at Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are various grades of men, and out of many thousands, one may be sufficiently interested in transcendental realization to try to know what is the self, what is the body, and what is the absolute truth. Generally, mankind is simply engaged in the animal propensities, namely eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And hardly anyone is interested in transcendental knowledge. The first six chapters of the Gita are meant for those who are interested in transcendental knowledge, in understanding the self, the super self, and the process of realization by jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, and the discrimination of the self from matter. However, Krishna can be known only by persons who are in Krishna consciousness. Other transcendentalists may achieve impersonal Brahman realization, for this is easier than understanding Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Person, but at the same time, He is beyond the knowledge of Brahman and Paramatma. So we explained that at the beginning, when I was giving the explanation of the Absolute Truth, all-pervasive Brahman, localized all-pervasive Paramatma, God in the heart. And then I explained the ultimate phase, the personality of God. Here, Prabhupada is pointing out that understanding Krishna, the Supreme Person. Now, this idea that God is a person is a gift. This is not something that everybody can get. Later on in this chapter, Krishna will point out that the realization that God is a person comes after millions and millions of lifetimes. It's a gift. If in this life you have actually come to the point where you realize and you accept, yes, ultimately God is a person, you should consider yourself very, very fortunate. Somebody may be religious or pious or spiritual, but even they may not be yet to the stage of understanding that God is a person. Let me finish this and then I will answer your question. The yogis and jnanis are confused in their attempts to understand Krishna. Although the greatest of the impersonalists, Sripad Shankaracharya, has admitted in his Gita commentary that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his followers do not accept Krishna as such. For it is very difficult to know Krishna, even though one has transcendental realization of impersonal Brahman. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the primeval Lord Govinda. Everyone say that name, please. Govinda. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. It is very difficult for the non-devotees to know him, although non-devotees declare that the path of bhakti or devotional service is very easy, they cannot practice it. If the path of bhakti is so easy, as the non-devotee class of men proclaim, then why do they take up the difficult path? Actually, the path of bhakti is not easy. The so-called path of bhakti, practiced by unauthorized persons without knowledge of bhakti, may be easy. But when it is practiced factually, according to the rules and regulations, the speculative scholars and philosophers fall away from the path. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpatayaiva Kalpate. Devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. It is not possible for the Brahman realized impersonalist or the Paramatma realized yogi to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yashoda or the charioteer of Arjuna. Even the great demigods are sometimes confused about Krishna. Muhyanti yat surayaha, mang tu veda na kaschana. No one knows me as I am, the Lord says. And if one does know him, then samahatma sudurlabaha, such a great soul is very rare. Therefore, unless one practices devotional service to the Lord, one cannot know Krishna as he is, tatvataha, even though one is a great scholar or philosopher. Only the pure devotees can know something of the inconceivable transcendental qualities in Krishna, his being the cause of all causes, his omnipotence and opulence, and his wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Because Krishna is benevolently inclined to his devotees, he is the last word in Brahman realization, and the devotees alone can realize him as he is. Therefore it is said, Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukehi Jivadau Swayam Eva Spurat Yadaha. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service unto him. You have a question? Well, let's take one at a time. Yes. Yes. Okay. Because you're a person. Very excellent. Very excellent. I use that all the time. We have a very human. Look at the pictures. God definitely looks human. Yes, we have full appreciation of that statement. Me coming from a Christian background, when I started to read this Bhagavad Gita, now the Bible made sense. When I saw him for the first time in 1973, I said, now I understand Jesus. Because now I have a modern day Jesus. It was very clear to me. And so many of the things, just like, which I use many times, Jesus himself said, I have many things to tell you, but your ears cannot bear to hear. And I say, that's Bhagavad Gita. Yes. Of course. And when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll get to see that, all those different forms that he takes. Yes. Good. Let's just say there is half truth, there is some half truth in what that person was saying on a different level. But to answer your question and make everybody happy, okay, but I'm gonna do two things at once. I'm gonna answer your question and make everybody happy. That there is truth in every religion, because there's, as I said a while ago, there's only one religion. And didn't I say that we don't care what club you belong to? Yeah, so when I'm, like 2 weeks ago, I was invited to a Catholic high school. So when I speak at the Catholic high school, the first thing I tell them is what Jesus said. Love God with your whole soul, your whole heart, your whole mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's religion. And that's the same thing that's taught in the Bhagavad Gita. And with me, with my paint on my face and my ponytail, I tell them, I'm a Christian. Because I'm trying to love God with my whole soul, my whole heart, my whole mind. And I definitely love my neighbor as myself, because I don't kill the cow. So, there are items in Buddhism that will directly correspond to the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, because Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna. There are other aspects of Buddhism which are not acceptable. Whatever. But yes, the essence of all religions should be love of God. Now, with your permission, class, I would like to speak on this final quote that we found in this person. in the purport. All right, so let's go back to this purport. And there was a quote, Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukehi Jivado Swayameva Sparat Yadaha. This verse is science. If you look at this verse, here is a science, a spiritual science verse. So first, Atak Shri Krishna Namadi, that when we talk about God, we talk about Krishna, we're talking about his name, form, pastimes, fame, entourage. When we talk about Krishna, so many things are included. But the first thing that you are going to realize, which is why the verse begins, Nam Adi. The first thing that you're going to realize before you can appreciate the other aspects is Krishna's name. In the Bible, we see, hallowed be thy name. We love that. That's another thing I would speak to a Christian audience. Hallowed be thy name. We are that on steroids. Our whole philosophy is based on the name of God. Not only is holy, is the most holy thing. And it's so holy, it's so powerful, that no matter who you are, if this name of God is chanted with devotion, with surrender, with seriousness, it can deliver you from any sinful reactions. Not only any sinful reactions, if this name of God is uttered once in purity, you cannot commit enough sins that it can't counteract. That's how potent is the name of God. There's a very nice story in ancient India. There was a great sadhu, and he went to his guru, and his guru gave him the holy name, Hari. Everyone say.
Hari.
But his guru told him, don't tell anybody. Keep it to yourself. Because his guru said, this name will deliver anyone from material life. It will give them salvation. So this disciple began to think, my guru said that this name, what was the name?
Hari.
That if anyone chants this name, they'll be delivered. So he went to the top of the temple and started chanting, Hari! Hari! He wanted to give it to everyone. And his guru chastised, why? I told you to keep it private. But he said, but Guru Dev, you said that anyone who chants this name will be delivered. I want everyone to be delivered. The guru said, all right, very good. This is the fundamental teaching of this movement. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kivalam, Kalao Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. This is the age of Kali. The age of quarrel, the age of cheating, the age of hypocrisy. Sounds like the headlines of the news, doesn't it? Yes, this is the age of Kali. Therefore, nothing will be effective. Nothing will work other than this chanting of the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya is the ultimate liberal. I know some people don't like this word, liberal. I am a liberal. Lord Chaitanya is so liberal, he says, chant any name of God. Let's say in your religion, you understand God as Allah. Chant it. Don't do anything else. Just chant it. Say, you brought up Buddha. Buddha is the name of God. Chant Buddha's name. Leave the animals alone. Chant Buddha's name. Chant the name Christ, Yahweh, Jehovah. Doesn't matter. Whatever name of God you have in your culture, chant the name of God. Now, at the same time, I am a salesman. And if you go to any car deal, like right around here, you have that Miller Toyota, right? And the other side, they have Miller Honda. So let's say you go to Miller Toyota. He's going to say, this Toyota's for you. Then you walk around. You go to the Honda's like, this Honda's for you. The salesman is going to sell you the car. And if I go to another car dealer, he's going to say, this Hyundai is for you. That's the best car. So every religion is going to say, we're the only way. Every religion says that. So what? I am Krishna's salesman. If you ask me, the best mantra, the best name of God, Hare Krishna. Everybody chant, please. That was great. Give yourselves a hand. Very good. So, first, one will realize that the name of God is God. It's not a symbol. The name, the sound. Oh, in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now that makes sense. In Hinduism, they have the word
Om.
Every Hindu knows the word
Om.
Om is contained within this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sometimes we're asked, you don't chant Om, you only chant Hare Krishna. Yes, I know. Because Om is right there in the midst of the Hare Krishna Mantra. We're covered. Okay? Now, so first you're going to realize that the name, the sound of God is God. There's no difference. Now it says, Na Bhaved Grayam Indriyai. You're not going to realize God with your blunt senses. That's why the scientist is not going to discover God in his laboratory.
Let's see now. Let's do a microscope. Let's do our telescope. Where is God? I don't see God.
But God is going, na 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 na. God says, not on your terms, stupid scientist. God is not going to appear on, well, it used to be Larry King Live. God is not going to appear at the Stupid Bowl halftime. God is not going to appear on Jay Leno. God says, you want to know me? You want to see me? My terms. Read Bhagavad Gita. This is how I will be seen. So not with these gross, dirty, contaminated senses. Now, the next line. Sevan mukhi hi jivadau. You have to render service. Service. That is how God is revealed gradually. And that service begins with the tongue. Jiva. What do you do with this tongue? You vibrate the name of God, the words of God. And what's the other thing the tongue wants to do? It wants to eat. So therefore you have to give it pure food. That's why we have our restaurant next door. Commercial break. Everyone should go to Govinda's and have prasad. This Bhagavad Gita explains that a devotee eats only first when it's offered with love to God. Then eats what is called prasad. Spiritual food. Food that has been blessed. So the tongue is purified. One time, I was challenged by a Muslim scholar He said, I read your whole Bhagavad Gita. Nowhere did I see I can't eat meat. I looked at him like, hello. Did you read the verse where it says that the devotees of the Lord offer food that is first offered with sacrifice? Did you read the verse where Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam toyam? I will accept leaf, flower, fruit, and water, not burgers, not chicken. So he was thinking, oh, he wanted to see thou shalt not eat meat. So I explained to him, and this is not ABC, children's religion. This is graduate study. It is to be understood that when you come here, you already know that you're not supposed to eat meat. So we offer Krishna food which has the minimum amount of violence associated with it. The minimum amount. I'm on a roll. Thank you. So, Krishna says, a leaf, meaning vegetables, a flower, fruit, water. These are simple things anyone can offer. But the key ingredient in that verse, bhakti, bhakti, bhakti. In that verse, that word bhakti appears 2 or 3 times. Emphasizing, Krishna is saying, hello, I don't need your water, really. I don't need your rice, dal, chapati. After all, who's his cook? Who's cooking for Krishna? Radharani. He's well taken care of. But what he will accept is your offering of love. Indian people know the story of Shabari. Why Lord Ram accepted? Why? Because she was offering out of love. This is what I love about the conception of Krishna in this movement, the conception of God. Some religions have a conception of God. I am the Lord thy God! Ooh, yes, yes. But the conception of Krishna, he plays a flute. Ooh, he's cool. The conception of Krishna, he's a dancer. He makes Michael Jackson look like a frog. He is the best of dressers. And what is God wanting? He doesn't want your Mercedes-Benz. He doesn't want your $1 million house. He wants only one thing. He wants your love. And that actually is the hardest thing. Even it's admitted in these wealthy, wealthy families. Sometimes the child is raised in a wealthy family, but the father and mother are so absorbed in their social life and their business life, the child is given to some nanny, and later on the child realizes, what I really wanted was the love and attention of my parents, which they never got. So the real thing, and it was sung by my original gurus, the Beatles. All you need is love. And Prabhupada explained, yes, all you need is love, but not love of Bobby and Susie and Linda and Jimmy. No, not that love. Love of God. That is the thing that really matters. So, this love of God, or this process, beginning with the tongue, using your tongue to serve God, is how your senses become purified, swayam eva sparatyadaha. Gradually, God is revealed to you. Gradually. This is science. that as you purify your existence, especially the tongue, chanting, and eating food offered to Krishna as a sacrifice, then your consciousness becomes purified, your senses become purified, and little by little by little, gradually, one day God will reveal himself to you. How many would like that day to come? You've come to the right place. And it all begins here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. All right, purify me. Gopal. Get ready. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Gopal, take over.